transfigured on the Mount, O Christ our God.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Be Transfigured, where we invite you to live a new life in Christ. We pray that this episode is a blessing to you and will inspire you to rededicate your life to Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us for worship or study at the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida, where visitors are always welcome. We'll be back in a few moments to share some more information about our ministry.
Before I get started this morning, I just want to point out that the church has a lectionary, a series of readings that are assigned for particular days and particular seasons. And that in the Gospels of the church, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are divided seasonally in the church. And it starts every year at Pascha, we read the Gospel of John. And then we read from the Gospel of Matthew and Luke, and then finally the Gospel of Mark. But my brothers and sisters, today we go back to a week that we skipped. And we skip it because the church, in an attempt to prepare us for the Triodion and the Great Lenten journey that is just a few weeks away, comes and brings this fantastic gospel lesson to our attention. And it's the Sunday of the Canaanite woman. And let me tell you that this particular gospel we also read during the Holy Unction service. And it is a reminder of God's healing power. And I want today just to spend a few minutes going through different portions of this morning's gospel so we can have a better understanding. What is it about this gospel that the church wants us to take home so we can somehow be prepared to receive God's healing? Because as I've said many, many times, it doesn't do us any good even if we memorize the scriptures. Even if we can recite the chapter and the verse, and sometimes even the punctuation, if that somehow doesn't change the way we live and change the way that we understand God's love for us. And so sit with me for a moment today, and we're going to go through the different parts of the gospel because I think it's going to help us. The opening scene, it says here that Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. So he went to a completely different place. He's taking his message on the road. It says, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Have mercy on me. And she's crying after our Lord, "Have mercy on me, have mercy on me. Kyrie eleison me." And the gospel says, he answered her not one word. I want you to think about times in your life when you have struggled. Or if you are having a question and you have a desire that you're bringing to God, and in our prayers we ask God for many things in our life. And sometimes we feel like this woman at that moment, that we're calling out to God and God, not one answer we hear. The gospel continues. His disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away because she's pestering us." Now, it doesn't say the word pester in here. That's my word. But that's how they responded. "Lord, this woman's really bothering us. Can you just get rid of her? She's getting in the way of our wonderful relationship that we have with you, God. We are your inner circle, and she's getting in our way. Get rid of her." And now think about those moments when we have been that inner circle, and that someone has come and needed the church. and we are so preoccupied with our own agenda that we encourage the church, oh, don't worry about those people. They can go to another church. They can go to another service. They can find another priest. If we don't do it personally, sometimes our inaction, sometimes the way we treat people who come into our church, we're sending that same message. God, we don't want to be bothered with those new people. Just take care of us. We're the ones who are already here. And listen to the words that Christ says. He's talking now to his disciples. He's talking now to the inner circle, which means he's talking to us. I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. My brothers and sisters, there are lost people in our city. And the church has been sent and built here on this corner for those people. We found the church here. We are now in the inner circle. We are the ones here in the church. And yet, there are people out there lost. They may not even yet know that they need the church. They may not even feel that they want God in their lives because they're running around lost in the dark world. And God says, I have not been sent except for those people. Now, how must the disciples at that moment felt? They had God's ear. They had his attention. Some strange woman is pestering him, and all they can think about is their personal time with God. And God says to them, it's not about you. It's about the lost people. Think about how those people must have felt. They must have wondered, well, what am I doing here? If God is not giving me attention, why do I even bother coming? The story continues. It says that the woman came up to God and she's worshiping Christ. It says, Lord, help me. She starts out by saying, Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy on me. She starts out by confessing that he is divine God, son of David. And not one word. She gets no response. So finally she says, Lord, please help me. Now here he turns his attention to the woman and he says, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Imagine if I told you the gospel's not for you. You guys are just little dogs. Go. Imagine how you would feel if the church referred to you as just little dogs. Little puppy dogs running around, nipping at your toes. Now you see, God knew her faith. God is not condemning her at this point. He's lifting her faith up so that the inner circle, so that the apostles who could not get past their own agendas could see her deep faith. All she wanted was just a little bit of help from God. Lord, help me. He says, it's not good to give the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. And she says, this is my favorite passage of this morning's gospel. Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I don't know how many of you have ever owned a dog, but when you own a dog, you don't need a broom or a vacuum. I mean, you do. But they come around the table and there's never any food on the floor when you have a dog. Sometimes when we're little kids, we take our peas and put it under the table on purpose. So this woman, in her incredible faith, turns to the Lord and says, I might be a dog, I might be lost, I might be a stranger, but even the dogs get the leftovers. Throw me just a crumb. And this is where the Lord says, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And from that very instant, her daughter was healed. She wasn't asking anything for herself. This is the message of the gospel, my brothers and sisters. It's not about us. When we go to God, and unfortunately this has become a very common trend, especially in our American society, we treat God like Santa Claus, or we treat God like a big ATM in the sky. That our prayers are simply a checklist of things we want Him to give us. God, I want this. God, I want this. God, I want a better job. God, I want better friends. God, I would really love that house with a 3-car garage and maybe a couple extra boats. And if we're really pious, if we're really holy, we'll say, if you want it, God. But we spend all of our time asking God for things that we want. We spend all of our time preoccupied with us receiving something from God, that we cannot see that the others are lost. That when we walk out this door this morning, we're going to come across people within the very moments we leave the doors, that they don't even know this church is here for them. They don't even know that they can come and receive God's grace and God's comfort. And they don't even realize they can come and say, Lord, help me. And this is why the church gives us this gospel lesson just weeks before Great Lent begins. Because the church is hoping, praying, that our minds will shift. We heard at Epiphany, metanoite, repent, change the way you look at the world. We saw the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down, repent, because Zacchaeus repented. And now the church, because next week the Triothion begins, and now the church is giving us one final attempt to prepare our hearts for the message that's coming. Get over yourselves, the church says. Open your hearts to the needs of others. Because God has come for the lost. Great is your faith, he says to that woman. And from that very moment, her prayers came true. Her daughter was healed, and she went on in her life. What an inspiration that must have been to the apostles and to that inner circle. What an eye-opening experience that must have been. I imagine, because I get into this trap myself, I imagine they're thinking, boy, you know, we thought we knew what God was talking about. Boy, did we really miss the boat this time. My challenge for you, my brothers and sisters, open your hearts to the lost. Realize that the church is here as the body of Christ, not always about what we want, but what others need. And those needs are a variety of things. Physical needs, emotional needs, spiritual needs, of course. Food, clothing, shelter, broken relationships, illnesses. There are so many great needs outside these doors. We have benefited from God. We come and God blesses us. The crowd that was walking with Jesus was not without blessings. Every now and then, just God has to remind us. Open our hearts to those who need. So as we prepare for great Lent coming, I invite you, look for the lost of our society. Look for our lost brothers and sisters who used to be in this church and have strayed away for one reason or another. Open your eyes. Look for the lost neighbors you have that leave their front door for their car and they leave their car for their front door and they don't even talk to the people that they encounter throughout the day because they're so lost and wrapped up in the world. And go and share with them and love them, encourage them, and then ask them a question. What do you do Sunday mornings? Just like that. They're going to answer any number of ways. But show that you love them and that there's a place for them where they can find Christ and they can receive the healing and the help that comes from God alone. Glory to God for all things.
Be Transfigured is a production of Be Transfigured Ministries in cooperation with the St. Nicholas Greek Orthodox Cathedral in Tarpon Springs, Florida. We depend upon your generosity to maintain our ministry. You can make a safe online donation when you visit our website, liveanewlifeinchrist.org.